Well, good day, everyone. What we're going to be doing today is going back to an old series in the book of Ecclesiastes and wisdom literature from a little while ago, because as I was thinking about all that was going on in the world at the moment, it struck me it really was time to reach for some wisdom. And I thought there's truths in the book of Ecclesiastes and the other wisdom texts of the Bible that are really relevant to what's going on in our lives today. So that's where we're heading, and I'm wanting to just sort of raise four issues for you to meditate on as we live through these strange and unprecedented times. So with that in mind, let's pray together. Lord, we are so glad that in the book of James we read that if we lack wisdom, we should pray. And so that's what we're doing now. We're praying to you that you'll give us the wisdom we need. These are really weird times that we're in. And so we pray that you'll meet us by your word and by your spirit and equip us with some of the wisdom that we need. For we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Something that I really love about the book of Ecclesiastes is how honest it is about the experience of being human. As we heard earlier today, that famous poem from Ecclesiastes 3 being read, did you notice how it didn't shy away from the negatives? Experiences that come our ways. Things like a time to die, a time to uproot, a time to kill, a time to tear down. It says there that there's a time to weep and a time to mourn, and fascinatingly for our times, a time to refrain from embracing. With all the changes that we're all currently experiencing at the moment, I think it's great that the Bible is honest in the wisdom literature about the sadness that can come when we experience change and when we experience loss. We've all lost things at the moment. I've been talking to different people about that. Some people feel like, I'm really sad because I can't watch the footy anymore. Nobody's playing. Or I'm really sad that I used to have contact, physical contact with my grandchildren, but in our family we've made a decision not to do that. Or somebody else is saying, I love routine, but routine has been taken away from me. We're all grieving things, and it's good to know that the Bible is completely honest about that, that there will be times to weep, there will be times to mourn. And I wonder what it is that you're missing. That would be a good thing to talk to others about. And it's good to realize that as we miss things and experience loss, for all of us, we're going to have an experience of grief. And something that the Psalms teach us is that grief is part of our human experience, and the practice of faith is to bring that experience to God. The book of Psalms tutors us in the practices of lament. It says to us, it's actually okay to complain and protest about how you're feeling as you lose things in your life. Because if you actually complain and protest to God, that is a profound act of faith where you're saying, God, you alone are the one who can deal with this problem. So don't think of complaining and protesting as an exercise in unbelief, so much as an exercise in faith, in admitting that God is the one who needs to hear your concerns and prayers. The book of the Psalms is very honest about what it feels like in our body and emotions to go through times of grief. Let me read to you a little from Psalm 102. It says, hear my prayer, Lord, let my cry for help come to you. Do not hide your face from me. When I am in distress, turn your ear to me. When I call, answer me quickly, for my days vanish like smoke. My bones burn like glowing embers. My heart is blighted and withered like grass. I forget to eat my food. In my distress, I groan aloud and am reduced to skin and bones. I am like a desert owl, like an owl among the ruins. I lie awake. I have become like a bird alone on a roof. Notice the emotional feelings of grief and distress. Notice the physical feelings of burning bones. Notice the loss of appetite. The sleeplessness, I lie awake, and that feeling of isolation, I'm like a bird alone on a roof. Name all those experiences and feelings to God. complain to him, protest to him about the things that you've lost, and school yourself in the practices of lament. You'll turn your complaints into requests. That's where lament takes us. But it's good for us to realize that the grief that we're experiencing is something that we can turn into prayer. So we're experiencing grief, and we can practice lament. What else is going on for us? Well, I want to suggest that we're all experiencing anxiety at the moment. Jesus talks to us about not worrying, doesn't he? And actually, in Luke chapter 12, that teaching comes in the context of some very challenging teaching about seeking first the kingdom of God. But as Jesus brings that challenge, he situates it in a worldview where he tells us, take a look at the flowers and take a look at the birds. Did you know it? At the moment, God is caring for flowers. He's making flowers blossom that will be more beautiful than any clothing that Solomon ever wore. And even though there's a virus sweeping the world and economies are collapsing, there's birds in the trees and God is feeding them. That's the world that we live in. It's actually God's world, and God's taking care of things in his world. And so Jesus says to us, we actually don't need to worry because the world is full of the grace of God. The book of James says it's actually good for us to realize that we're not God and we're not in control of the creation. And he says to us, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. You might find it insulting to be told that you are just a mist, but actually there's something liberating and real about that. It situates us in the place where we're not God, and it helps us to remember that God is the lasting eternal one and we are just mist. We are just creatures, so the whole stance of our lives is that we need to receive from God. And we receive his grace in the creation. We also receive his grace in redemption, of course. But today, I guess I'm reflecting on the grace of God in creation. Wendell Berry has written a poem called The Peace of Wild Things. And you'll hear some biblical imagery in this. But he's responding to the very graciousness of the fact that there even is a creation. He writes this. The peace of wild things. When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water, and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things, who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free. We're lucky that we live in the Blue Mountains. It will mean in the weeks ahead, most of us will get a chance to go and stand somewhere and look at a view, or we can look out a window and see a tree, or we can reflect on a gum leaf. We can breathe in the graciousness of God's creation. When you stand at a view, I want you to think, everything I'm looking at is an expression of God's grace to me. And Wendell Berry's poem says that when you notice grace, it can lead to peace. And I think that's what Jesus is getting at in Luke chapter 12. When you notice grace, it can lead to peace. And you don't have to worry in the same way. So we've got some practices, haven't we? We're going to experience grief and we'll lament. We're going to experience anxiety, and we can be attentive to grace and therefore find peace. We're also in a time, of course, that's going to open up for us opportunity. Maybe you're already hearing people saying, oh, well, this is my chance to get some reading done, or I'm going to play more games, board games with the kids. I'm going to learn a musical instrument, perhaps. As we live in this strange time of isolation and distancing, new opportunities will open up. And I'd want to suggest to us that the book of Ecclesiastes says that what God is often doing in the seasons of our lives is opening up opportunities for beauty, opportunities to trust, and opportunities for joy. In today's passage, the writer of Ecclesiastes takes the idea from chapter 1 that the sun goes round and round, and the water goes round and round, and the wind goes round and round, and applies it to the human experience, of the way our lives go round and round. One day we hear of a baby being born, the next day we hear of an old friend passing away, or some days we're pulling bulbs out of the ground, or laying concrete pillars, planting bulbs in the ground, or laying concrete pillars, or applying for a job. And the next thing you know, we're pulling out annuals, or we're getting a sledgehammer to knock down some crumbling foundations, or we're emptying the drawers of our desk and driving out of a work car park for the last time. The poem in Ecclesiastes 3 is as rhythmic and various as life itself. And the writer concedes that as life moves through this rhythm of seasons, what God is doing is, it says in verse 11, that God has made everything beautiful in its time. God has made everything beautiful in its time, as though there's an aptness. You will know when it's time to dance, and when it's time to embrace, and when it's time to laugh, and when it's time to be silent. There's an aptness. And life can be really exciting, actually, if you see it as a series of opportunities to find the beautiful, the apt, the fitting thing to do. Imagine you're talking to somebody and the conversation's a bit prickly and somebody's a bit cranky, and then you work out something to say that just calms everybody down. Well, the writer of Proverbs says that's a moment of beauty. A gentle answer can turn away wrath, and Proverbs 25:11 says, a word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Or Proverbs 24:26, an honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. Beautiful. God has made everything beautiful in its time. And perhaps a challenge for us as we live through this difficult time is to enter each situation asking, how will I bring beauty into this situation? But that's not going to be easy. The writer of Ecclesiastes goes on to say that God has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. That notion there that God has placed eternity in the human hearts is often taken and becomes quite elaborate in Christian theology about heaven and hell and so on. I just want to suggest a more modest reading of it today, that God has made everything beautiful in its time. He's also set the capacity to think about the future, a sense of duration in the human heart. We, of all the species that God made, it seems, are the ones who can imagine and picture and conceive of a future. But that doesn't mean we know exactly what God is doing from beginning to end. And that makes things tough. Now, you experience this every time you go to clean up under the house or in a garage or something. You come across Uncle George's old piano accordion and you think, okay, I can picture that this piano accordion has a past and that it has a future, but what should that future be? What is God going to do with piano accordions? Is it God's purposes that somebody in my family in a generation's time is going to want to learn the piano accordion, and so I should keep this? Is it God's intention that the piano accordion will become a funky instrument again, as it has, and so I should keep this? Or is God's intention that the world should be rid of piano accordions and I should get rid of this? How do you know? That's where wisdom becomes quite a complex task. Imagine if you're the president of a netball club at the moment. What do you do with all your members and the fees they've paid? And you can imagine all these various futures. What do you do if you're the mayor of the Blue Mountains or the premier of New South Wales or the prime minister of Australia at the moment? They are living in very complex times, trying to discern the future and the past and trying to make decisions, and it's going to be tough for them. The writer of Ecclesiastes says, well, God has deliberately given us that kind of experience and that responsibility for this reason. God does it so that people will fear him. God does it so that people will revere him. They will treat him as God. And we shouldn't shy away from that. It's a bit like this idea that we are just missed. We need to be people who fear God. And so that's an opportunity for us, isn't it? There's an opportunity to try to be apt and beautiful in the complex situations that God's going to give us. But there's also going to be times to realize, wow, I don't understand this. I'm going to have to trust in God. Now, as you live as somebody who is more deeply fearing, trusting, having reverence for God, will that make you all pious and aloof? Well, I don't think so, because the writer of Ecclesiastes has got this to say about wise living. It says in verse 12 of chapter 3, I know there is nothing better for people than to be happy and do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in their toil. This is the gift of God. Be happy. There's a big theme of joy in the book of Ecclesiastes. Once you realize that you're not in control of the world and that God is, and that different seasons will come your way, well then, one of the best postures that you can adopt is to look for the gift and the joy in the little thing that you've got, in the food, in the drink, in the work that God has given you to do. Today it might be a few slices of tomato on a sayo biscuit. Thank God for the gift of that. Another day there might be a banquet. Thank God for that. You might have three beds that you've got to make this morning. Find joy in that and thank God for that. You might be rewriting lectures. You might be doing a whole lot of computer programming. Thank God that he's given you a task to do, and find joy in that. There's something amazing in Ecclesiastes at the end of chapter 5. It says this, 5:18. This is what I have observed to be good, that it is appropriate for a person to eat, to drink, and to find satisfaction in their toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life God has given them. For this is their lot or portion. This is what God has allocated to them to do. Moreover, when God gives someone wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, to accept their portion, their lot, and be happy in their toil, this is the gift of God. And have a listen to this. It's hard to believe it's in the Bible. They seldom reflect on the days of their life because God keeps them occupied with gladness of heart. They seldom reflect on the days of their life because God keeps them occupied with gladness of heart. It seems a lot of the time we're trying to urge people to reflect more on the days of their lives and the fact that, you know, they're going to die and you know, the big eternal decisions that they need to make. But there's also wisdom from time to time in just realizing, wow, there are really big and complex problems out there. The best thing for me right now is to be occupied with gladness of heart. And so you'll say to somebody, can you pass me another piece of pizza, please? And that won't be some act of escapist hedonism, but as a believer, that will be for you a participation in God the Creator and his generosity and grace toward you. We ride our lives on a loop the loop. We dance, we mourn, we plant, we uproot. We barely understand why. A lot of the time we have no idea what will happen tomorrow. And so an act of faith might be to say, pass the pizza. So where have we been? We will grieve, and there are practices in the Bible of lament for us. We'll be anxious, and we can breathe in grace and find peace. There are opportunities for us, opportunities to discover new habits and patterns in our lives, and from Ecclesiastes, opportunities for beauty, opportunities to deepen our sense of the fear of God, and opportunities to rejoice, opportunities for joy. Lastly, as people of the resurrection, as Luke's talk reminds us, we are people of hope. We have an eternal hope, and actually God has planted the seeds of hope in the world already. I've got a friend who posted this on Facebook a week or two ago. He said, "The routines of contemporary life, or the liturgies, if you like, of everyday life, have taught us autonomous decision-making, instant gratification, continuous consumption, perpetual entertainment. It turns out what we need is generous neighbourliness, patience in affliction, self-control, and other person-centeredness." He writes, "If only there was a bunch of people who had been quietly practicing such things in our midst and who could provide a model and embrace others in a countercultural posture of humility, service, and hope." Oh, wait, he says, that's what the church is for. It's a lovely observation, isn't it? Instant gratification, continuous consumption, perpetual entertainment, that's the culture that surrounds us. But God has planted a seed in the world through the gospel, in the power of the Holy Spirit. He's created communities of people who are quietly practicing things like generous neighborliness, patience in affliction, self-control, other person-centeredness. And it means that even in these strange, disorienting times, we can assume a posture of humility, of service, and of hope. I look forward to seeing those seeds that God has planted in the world bear fruit and blossom into flowers in the weeks and months ahead. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that your word is living and so very real. We pray that you will train us now in the practices of lament as we grieve, in attentiveness to grace as we feel anxious, that you'll give us eyes to look for opportunities as the seasons around us change. And we pray, Lord, that we will always be people of hope. Amen.